This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 12:03. Great to have you with us for the Tuesday, October 27th edition of the Noon Business Hour. I'm Jennifer Kuiper in for Cisco Cotto, and the Noon Business Hour is presented by the Village of Bedford Park. Big residential development appears to be in the works on Chicago's north side, and on Travel Tuesday, navigating why you should apply for a hotel credit card now. Joining us first is Diane Swonk, and we have her and several new numbers to crunch on the economy. We're joined by Diane Swonk, chief economist for Grant Thornton here in Chicago. Diane, let's start with housing. What's fueling the surge in home prices?
Well, two things. One, we have just no inventories of homes out there for sale. The lack of supply is with buyers willing to buy is really bidding up prices and triggering bidding wars in many areas. We're even seeing a lot of people buy second homes out there in vacation areas, which have bid up prices there as well in the very high end of the market. So you're really seeing this as an inventory situation where we have record low interest rates and those who do have money are willing to buy.
What's the outlook for the rest of this year now that we already have some snow? We are also we're seeing the COVID cases rising. So what is the thinking here among realtors and what's to come in the coming months?
Well, the housing market will likely carry out through the year end to be fairly strong, but the housing market has come to embody all of what is good and bad and ugly about the U.S. economy with the COVID recession. On the good side, we have seen it unleash some pent-up demand that was created during the crisis, but also some first-time buyers entering the market and able to buy, millennials finally buying their first home and looking for more space outside of urban areas, moving to suburban areas and second-tier cities. That's a trend that we saw before COVID hit, but it's been accelerated. The other side of it is the very wealthy and the second home buyers, people who had cities, lived in urban areas, more urban areas, and wanted more space, and realized in an environment where vacations are limited and their ability to travel is much more limited, that they want to buy a second home in a vacation area that they can go to and escape and get more space. And I think that's part of the work from home reality that we're going to see persist for some time now. What's important about the surge in cases, though, is we know already in Wisconsin, which is a hotspot, that initial unemployment insurance claims have picked up, layoffs have picked up as those COVID cases has picked up. That's a behavioral response we've seen time and time again, and that is consumers and businesses pull back the minute the threat of contagion surges with both cases and hospitalizations. So what we're really worried about is that without additional aid, the U.S. economy could slip again as we go into the fourth quarter and the first quarter and deal with these surging cases. That's something that also is showing up in the consumer confidence numbers, that people are worried about both their current labor market prospects, but also about what the economy looks like over the next 6 months with the threat of COVID and the contagion that goes with it hanging over us.
And you don't want to see consumer confidence dipping, especially when we're getting into the shopping season for the holidays.
Exactly. This is a really critical season for a broad spectrum of, travel, tourism, not going to be happening this holiday season. Much smaller Thanksgiving celebrations. I know a lot of people are buying much smaller turkeys, if even a whole turkey, this holiday season. And that really does put a damper on what is a critical season, not only for retailers, but restaurants, travel, and tourism. Remember, Thanksgiving week often includes some of the highest travel and air traffic days of the year, and that's not likely to happen this year.
That's Diane Swonk, chief economist, Grant Thornton here in Chicago. And coming up, what's next before construction construction can begin on a whole new Chicago micro neighborhood. One of Chicago's biggest developers is planning a project that would house a population bigger than some small towns. Let's get the latest from Albie Galoon, senior reporter, Crane Chicago Business. And Albie, tell us, where exactly is this? What kind of homes are we talking about? And it sounds like the land hasn't even been purchased yet.
That's correct. Hi, Jennifer. The developer is JDL Development, which has built several high-rise residential buildings in downtown Chicago over the last several years. And they are making big plans for a site that they want to buy from the Moody Bible Institute. This is 8 acres. It's roughly north of Chicago Avenue and just east of the L tracks. And the plan right now is to build nearly 2,700 residential units there. We don't have a lot of details yet. The developer is going to actually take the wraps entirely off its plans in a meeting on November 12th. So we'll have a lot more detail at that time.
To whom could this be a bigger sell or a tough sell? I mean, the city, you might think, the city wants to go with that because it has a huge budget hole. But we're not talking about money that would come until much later. And there's a lot to this. And then you have people in the area who might think it's already crowded.
Yeah, well, it's true. There are actually two sales jobs that JDL has to do. One is they got to get the city to sign off on their plans. And that's kind of an elaborate process that begins with community meetings like the one on November 12th. And then they have to go through the plan commission and city council so they can get their zoning. And then they have to, get financing from lenders. And that's quite a task as well, especially in the current environment. And then they got to sell their condos or apartments. So you're absolutely right. The real question right in front of us, though, is what will be the community reaction to this proposal? And it's really hard to say. I mean, a lot of people in neighborhoods, when developers propose high rises, they raise concerns about density, traffic, congestion, things like that. And, this is not a terribly dense project. I mean, they could probably, if they wanted to, put a lot more units in there. But, we'll have to see. I'm sure people always find fault with big developments like this. So I don't think this is going to be an exception.
Could this be a financial boon to the city?
Well, down the road, absolutely. I mean, you're going to have more property tax income as a result of this and just more people. So, it's coming at an interesting time, obviously, because, the city is facing some budgetary issues. And, Lori Lightfoot has proposed raising taxes in the next fiscal year. And, the market's not so great either. Demand for apartments is really low. Condo sales have fallen. And so, it's actually, though, when you think about it, not a bad time to be planning a project, because JDL doesn't really plan on starting construction on anything for about a year. So they're betting that the market will be much stronger at that time. And, we'll just have to see.
Albie Galoon, senior reporter, Crane Chicago Business, thanks for joining us. And up next, prepare for a COVID surge and the progress on a drug treatment.
Cashing in with conversation. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
While the nation's healthcare providers plan for a possible COVID surge, drug maker Eli Lilly suffers a setback in development of its drug to treat the disease. Joining us with the latest, Michelle Cortez, health reporter for Bloomberg News based in Minneapolis. Michelle, what's the latest on the spread? It seems like the country's midsection is getting it right now.
The Midwest is absolutely being hammered by coronavirus, and the challenge is that it's not just in the major cities that have been preparing for it all, summer and as we're going into the winter here, but it's also hitting a lot of places just out in the heartland, in small rural communities, places that really aren't set up to deal with a whole large number of new coronavirus cases. So it is very worrisome all across the Midwest.
Can you explain what's going on with Eli Lilly and the setback their exploration for a vaccine has taken?
Yeah, so this is a product that's similar to the therapeutic that President Trump got. Now, of course, he got one from Regeneron, so it's a different company, but it's the same idea. And these are man-made antibodies, the kind of antibodies that your body would normally make to fight off coronavirus. And in this case, the companies have made it. It's monoclonal antibody, and it's supposed to help you recover more quickly. And that's exactly what happened with President Trump, and he, you know, touted this as a potential cure. Eli Lilly's medicine was used in patients who were much sicker, who were already in the hospital and having some struggles, and it didn't work. It didn't help those people recover more quickly. It didn't help them get out of the hospital. It didn't reduce deaths. So that's really a terrible setback, because those are the patients who really need something, the ones who are, you know, on the edge, not doing well. Not only that, it's a challenge because even if the Regeneron drug does work, they can't make these very quickly. They're hard to do. So it would be better to have two players in this space. Lilly's still working on it. Hopefully people who aren't as sick will do better.
So we're looking at those mild to moderate cases then, it sounds like.
Exactly. So it might have just been that once the patients who were getting this Lilly drug, already their immune system was already kicking into overdrive, and it wasn't that they were just trying to fight off the virus. There was other things happening in their bodies. So hopefully that's it. And if we get it into people earlier, it will actually still have a benefit. Fingers crossed.
Always great to have you, Michelle. Thanks for joining us. That's Michelle Cortez, health reporter, Bloomberg News out of Minneapolis. Still ahead, a check of the markets, and on Travel Tuesday, why you might want a hotel credit card even if you're not traveling.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM, a check of Wall Street, and on Travel Tuesday, why a hotel credit card could benefit you in a pandemic. A good sign in Harley-Davidson's efforts to change the course. And President Trump and Democrat Joe Biden make their closing arguments to Americans in the final week of the campaign. And Tafara Williams calls on Waukegan police to release details of the police shooting that wounded her and killed her boyfriend. WBBM Business, the Dow right now is down 71 points. The NASDAQ is up 75. S&P 500 is up 4 points. And oil is up just over 2.5%. We have cloudy skies. We've had some flurries, some wet snow in the area. Right now, 35 at O'Hare, 34 at Midway, 35 at the lakefront at 1231. Amy Coney Barrett is now formally the 9th Justice of the U.S. Supreme Court, taking her second oath of office this morning at the court. Barrett's first votes could include two big topics affecting the man who appointed her. The court is weighing a plea from President Trump to prevent the Manhattan District Attorney from acquiring his tax returns. It's also looking at appeals from the Trump campaign and Republicans to shorten the deadline for receiving and counting absentee ballots in North Carolina and Pennsylvania. The nation's highest court has ruled in favor of Republicans in a Wisconsin absentee ballot case, Mike Krauser reports.
At issue was a lower court ruling that allowed mail-in ballots to be counted if received up to 6 days after the election. That ruling had been put on hold by a federal appeals court. The justices voted 5-3 to reject the extension. The three liberal justices dissented. Chief Justice John Roberts, who last week joined the liberal members to extend the absentee ballot deadline in Pennsylvania, went the other way in the Wisconsin case, writing different bodies of law and different precedents govern the two situations. Wisconsin Democrats had argued the pandemic-related flood of absentee ballots warranted the extension. Republicans praised the ruling, saying people have had and still have plenty of time to vote. About 360,000 people in Wisconsin have yet to return absentee ballots. Mike Krauser, News Radio, 105.9 FM.
Be sure to download the radio.com app to hear WBBM anytime, anywhere, or remember to ask your smart speaker to play WBBM News Radio. WBBM News Time, 1233.
It's 60 Minutes of Financial Planning. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Stocks are trading mixed today. Joining us with the latest on what's moving Wall Street, Nick Raich, CEO of the Earnings Scout based in Cleveland, Ohio. And you can check out Nick's website, earningsscout.com. Nick, what do you make of the numbers that you're seeing on the big board right now?
Well, the market's come under pressure the last couple of days because what we've measured over the last 6 months across the economy is some sharply improving earnings expectations among S&P 500 companies, really going from awful to less awful to not so bad. In the last few days, though, the street's starting to think some of that improvement's starting to wane, possibly with no stimulus deal reach and the coronavirus cases increasing, causing some concern in the market.
Can you catch us up on earnings? What have we seen so far? And I know that Microsoft reports after the bell, and I think AMD reports after the bell today as well.
Yeah, we have those two and 16 others. So 18 S&P 500 companies report after the bell tonight. In total, we now have 169 companies in the index, or about the third of the index, on the clock for third quarter earnings. And we're measuring 83% of those companies beating estimates by some of the widest margins I've ever measured in over 20 years of doing this. The average earnings beats have been about 19.35%. That's pretty high when it's normally between 3 and 6%. So analysts weren't given guidance many months ago because of COVID. So they had to make their own guesses, and the analysts completely underestimated where the third quarter growth was going to be. So we're looking at final earnings growth numbers now for the S&P 500 projected to be about -12 to -13%. Back in June, the street was expecting -27%. So much less negative than originally feared.
A couple of companies, 3M and Caterpillar. 3M I ask about because they have their hands in so many things, safety and industrial, transportation, electronics, healthcare, you name it. Tell us a little bit about their earnings and then also Caterpillar, where that company stands.
They both beat this morning. So those were two that reported this morning. In total, there were 24 S&P 500 companies that reported. 22 of those beat their estimates. But the one thing like a Caterpillar did and the 3M, they're not really providing guidance that the street needs going forward. So that's they've come under some pressure and have some uncertainty because of COVID across the world and the increasing cases across the world. It creates some uncertainties for managements to provide that guidance. But the one thing we are seeing across the board for the overall number of companies in the index, that we're seeing more guidance than what we saw certainly more guidance than what we've seen 6 months ago because they had more of a wild card with COVID. It's still a wild card, just seems to be a little bit less of one at this point. But, you know, only two companies missed on earnings this morning, and 3M and Caterpillar weren't those two.
And I know you're the tech guy, so I'm going to ask you this question. AMD buying rival chipmaker for $35 billion buying Xilinx. Tell us about that. What prompted it, the purchase, and is it pandemic related?
Well, you know, it's more of a consolidation we're seeing across semiconductor industry in general. NVIDIA recently made some purchases. Intel has made some purchases over the last years. So what this does is help create AMD, the chip maker, to be a little bit more competitive against Intel. So it broadens their chip portfolio and offerings they have. And Xilinx was a name my firm really liked. It has very solid earnings trends. And I know the street thinks that AMD is paying a little high price tag for the deal's valued about $35 billion. But we think AMD is getting a deal here.
That's Nick Raich, CEO of the Earnings Scout out of Cleveland, Ohio. Thanks for joining us and his website, earningsscout.com. Up next in Travel Tuesday, why you should explore getting a hotel credit card even if you're not planning to travel anytime soon.
Lunch money for all generations. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Even if you can't put a hotel room key card in your hand right now, the hotel industry wants to put a credit card in your wallet. Today on Travel Tuesday, why you might want to apply for a hotel-branded credit card. We're talking with Ted Rossman, industry analyst of creditcards.com, based out of New York. And Ted, why should we sign up for this kind of a credit card right now?
Hey, Jennifer, I know it sounds counterintuitive because most people aren't traveling these days, but the hotel industry is really trying to woo people with higher sign-up bonuses. And what you might want to do is get one of these cards now, put some everyday spending on it, and then get a great trip to look forward to.
And do you have time to rack up these points now because we're not doing anything?
You do, yeah. Typically, you have 3 months to get the sign-up bonus. Some cards, though, are extending that. Like, for example, the World of Hyatt card is giving you an extra 3 months to get extra bonus points. So you get 25,000 points if you spend $3,000 in the first 3 months, and then you get 25,000 more bonus points if you spend $6,000 total within 6 months. Hyatt actually has the most valuable hotel points by a wide margin, according to our partner, the Points Guy. So that's definitely one to look into.
Have you found that the lenders in the hotels have gotten a little creative with this, or is it pretty par for the course, standard stuff?
They are getting creative. Yeah, my favorite offer there is the Marriott Bonvoy Boundless card. So what they're doing is that you can actually get a sign-up bonus that's going to give you 5 free nights worth up to 50,000 points a piece. So those 250,000 bonus points could be worth $2,000. And this card only charges a $95 annual fee. So that's a great example of how you can turn some of today's spending, maybe it's on online shopping, something for the holidays, gas, groceries, everyday stuff, and then you have a week in a hotel to look forward to for free.
Oh, you caught my ear when you said annual fee. Any way they will waive some of that?
You could try. You know, you're probably not going to get that waived the first year. In subsequent years, sometimes that works, kind of like you might call up your cable company and say, oh, I'm thinking of canceling. You know, can you work with me? One thing that these hotel cards do also to make the annual fee more palatable is that that card and many others will give you a free night every year that you stick with the card. So you can actually get a nice hotel room, oftentimes worth more than that $95 just for sticking with the card.
And what is it that this could do to, could this help your credit score? Let me ask you that.
It could, in the sense of having more available credit, especially if you're using less of it. I know that a lot of times these days people are getting their limits cut unexpectedly on cards that they already have. So if you have a good credit score and you're able to qualify for a new card, opening a new card can actually help your credit score. It helps lower your credit utilization ratio, assuming you use it properly. And with all these rewards benefits, if you're paying your bills in full, there's a lot of free money out there.
That is Ted Rossman, industry analyst, creditcards.com. Join us at this time tomorrow for Personal Finance Wednesday. And still to come, Harley Davidson opens the throttle.
Your best stock option. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Harley Davidson's efforts to regroup and cut costs is showing some results. Can the company maintain that speed? We're talking with Garrett Nelson, senior equity analyst with CFRA Research in Richmond, Virginia. Garrett, Harley was in trouble for quite a while. What moves have been made to bring about this turnaround?
Hi, so thanks for having me. I think you're right. They have done a very good job cutting costs, and you see that flow right through to the bottom line. Combined with customer stimulus, you had a lot of stimulus, a lot more money put in people's pockets over the last several months, and it appears that many of them have gone out and bought a new motorcycle. So you had, you know, a combination of better than expected revenue combined with better than expected costs, which drove a pretty impressive bottom line beat. Adjusted earnings per share for Harley-Davidson were up 50% year over year in the third quarter.
The customers that were coming in, older group, younger set, what's Harley still appealing to, the older set?
So demographics are still an issue for Harley-Davidson. Their traditional customers is over the age of 50, and they've really struggled for years to appeal to a younger demographic. So, you know, we think that will continue to be an issue for the company, and that's one of the reasons why we have stuck with our hold rating today. We did raise our price target, however, from $24 to $32.
What is dealer inventory like and now, you know, as compared to a year ago?
So their new CEO has come in, and he's done a much better job in a short period of time managing their inventory. So they reported that a lot of their dealers, they're holding the line on price. They're selling a lot of motorcycles very close to MSRP, where for a long time they had been discounting price in order to sell more motorcycles. That is no longer the case. So, you know, you're seeing some significant operational improvements. And I think that's one of the reasons why the stock is up so much today on this beat. There's a lot of optimism under this new management team that has come in.
Is Harley Davidson putting money into research and development, or is it kind of holding the course on that?
So they are continuing to invest in R&D, mainly developing electric motorcycles. They have a new model coming out. They think that there's significant promise with electric motorcycles going forward. So, you know, at the same time, they're pulling out of a lot of markets, almost 40 markets worldwide, which they're not profitable or not earning sufficient margin in those markets. They're pulling out and instead just focusing on 50 key markets, which should be margin accretive looking forward.
And Garrett, you mentioned with Harley-Davidson that the incentive spending was down. You also cover the auto industry. So what are you seeing when it comes to cars, trucks, and SUVs? Is incentive spending also down there?
Same thing. Inventory levels have been tight, especially when you look at vehicles such as the pickup truck and SUV category. Consumer stimulus has been a huge boon for the auto companies. You've seen a major increase in monthly sales to the point where they're almost back to levels where they were before the pandemic began. So, you know, a lot of similar trends are happening in the auto industry as we just saw with Harley-Davidson with their third quarter results.
That's Garrett Nelson, Senior Equity Analyst, CFRA Research. Thanks for joining us. You'll find past programs and later today a podcast of this hour at WBBMNewsRadio.com and the Radio.com app.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.